Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, October 30th, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Reagnostics. We are on page 55. The fifth paragraph that begins in this book you will read, and we're going to be reading through two paragraphs on to page 56 that ends brought him to the point of self-destruction. Today's readers for the 12 steps, Marianne H., the 12 traditions, Patty T., readers of the text, Nancy R., Vanessa G., our backup is Abby D., the newcomer greeter this morning is Kathleen W., our second hour host is Eileen M., and announcements will be done by Kathy S. Thanks, everybody, for your service this morning. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, October 29th, 2024, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,867. That's 21867. And for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 21,868. That's 21868. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marianne H. to please read the 12 steps.
Marianne H. from New Jersey, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marianne H. And I'll now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Patty T. from New York, compulsive overeater, the 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the OA, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public medias of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve in October, and I'll pass back to Lisa.
Thank you, Patty T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to at least 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 55, the fifth paragraph that begins, "In this book you will read." We'll be reading through two paragraphs, ending brought him to the point of self-destruction, and comments will be on both of those paragraphs. And I'll now ask Nancy R. to please begin reading. Nancy,
good morning.
Star 1. There you are.
Here I am. Good morning, Nancy R. Recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration, business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war disillusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction.
Nancy, you sound a little bit like you're underwater.
Uh-oh. Okay, hold on. Let me do something.
Is that better?
Oh, gosh, that's so much better. I hate to even ask. Would you mind reading that again?
No problem.
Thank you for telling me.
In this book, you will read the experience of a man who thought he was an atheist. His story is so interesting that some of it should be told now. His change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. Our friend was a minister's son. He attended church school, where he became rebellious at what he thought an overdose of religious education. For years thereafter, he was dogged by trouble and frustration. Business failure, insanity, fatal illness, suicide. These calamities in his immediate family embittered and depressed him. Post-war delusionment, ever more serious alcoholism, impending mental and physical collapse brought him to the point of self-destruction. Well, I personally have not experienced the type of calamities in my immediate family that this person did. But I have experienced trouble and frustration, as it says in the sentence before that. And I have been dogged by trouble and frustration. And those things certainly depressed me. I don't know that I became embittered, but I certainly became depressed. And, you know, this addiction of overeating certainly kicked in, and I had disillusionment, and I experienced even more serious compulsive overeating, and I experienced mental and physical or impending mental and physical collapse. And I experienced some mental and physical collapse, and you know, that I've been free of this addiction for almost 3 years now, but before that relapse did bring me to the point of self-destruction. I just didn't care anymore. I wasn't going to show up and do anything because I had given up hope. What I am so grateful for is, even though our stories are different, I too have had a spiritual awakening, which he has, as we read over the next couple of days. My change of heart was not as dramatic, but was dramatic, convincing, and moving. I didn't think I was an atheist, but I had certainly given up on listening to what God was telling me as far as how I could live a life free of this addiction. And, you know, through all the calamities in my life, including that hard relapse, I knew that God was with me. I just wasn't willing to do what I needed to do, what I was hearing God asking me to do. And I'm just so grateful that my higher power never gave up on me, and that though my experience was different, I can certainly identify in with this person and with the hopelessness and with the reliance on my higher power that has brought me to where I am today, which is a recovered compulsive overeater. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy R., for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the Vision meetings on Monday or Tuesday, we ask you to hold back this morning. And who would like to comment on what Nancy read?
Stephanie from Florida.
Stephanie.
Jean M.
Jean M.
Adrian N.
Anybody else?
Jim S. in Toledo.
Jim S.
Janice. Stephanie O. Long Island.
Okay, Janice. Stephanie. I think
Stephanie O.
Okay.
Stephanie O.
Right. Did you already say your name, Stephanie? Is there another Stephanie?
There's two Stephanies.
Okay. All right. So I have the other Stephanie, Jean M, Adrian N, Jim S, Janice. You'll have to give me your first initial of your last name, and Stephanie O. Stephanie, if you'll give me the first initial of your last name, you're up, followed by Jean M.
I don't know if it's me or what.
No, they...
If you put them all together, we'll see.
And if you're not Stephanie, please press star 1 to mute.
Oh, I'm Stephanie W. from Florida.
Thanks. Go ahead, Stephanie.
You want me to speak? Okay. Thank you for the service today. And in the passage, something that I can relate with was being kind of raised with an overdose of religion. I went to a religious school. There was a lot of fear that was driven. It was about control, and it repelled me. And I never really got a solid feeling of a higher power until I came to OA. I'm trying very hard to learn how to, or God is helping me learn how to let my gut instinct, which is when my higher power is talking to me, be enough. And then follow step 11 with that to have the power to carry it out. Sometimes I get the notion or that gentle God tap that says, this is the next right move, and it's uncomfortable or unpopular, but I know it's right in my bones. Like, there's no question, there's a calm surrounding it when it's my higher power directing me. And when that happens, I have to have that willingness to listen to it and then pray for the power to carry it out, even if it's unpopular. These days I am wanting more food. I've got stress and I've got things that are triggering me, and I'm happy that we got to read this passage and for the last share about willingness to follow God's will. I don't want to compulsively overeat. I don't want to, and it's interesting how my disease will capitalize on whatever drama it can to remove the hope that I have. So I, even after 9 years of sobriety in this disease, I still have trigger moments, and it's popping into a meeting that helps me get right back on that mental beam. Cass?
Thank you, Stephanie W. from Florida. And Jean M., you're up, followed by Adrian N.
Jean M. from Michigan. I have a friend who went all through Catholic grade school and high school with me, and we got plenty of religious training. And yet he says now, I'm 70 years old and he's 71, he says now that he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. He's got some bitterness about what he believes are false teachings. And yet he was recently going through a health crisis. And of course, when I said, I'll pray for you, he said, great, I'll take all the prayers I can get. So I think it's sad to me that he does not pray for himself, or he does not have a higher power that he can turn to. And I think that for me, I am so grateful that I do. And I wish that he could discover what has alienated him, his religious training and beliefs or whatever, because so much of what we read in this chapter is that, you know, deep down, deep within, we've got some kind of a belief in something bigger than ourselves. And when we really search our hearts and souls, we discover that. And I think that would be true for him. And I also believe that he's a compulsive overeater. And so it would be wonderful if I could help him in some way to grapple with some of these things. But I'm just grateful that I have this program and that I am comfortable with my higher power, my faith, and that it leads me. And I am working every day to be even more humble and to be led even more by heaven, by my higher power. And I'm grateful for all of you, and I thank you for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean M. from Michigan. And Adrian N., you're up, followed by Jim F.
Good morning. It's Adrian N. from Florida. I felt like I was, given so much religious, punishment. God was always going to punish me. God was know what I was thinking and was going to punish me for my bad thoughts or my selfishness or, even what I wasn't thinking, I was told I was going to be punished for what I was thinking. And that did not make me an atheist or agnostic. It was when I was in relapse and I got this notion in my head that God must want me to be miserable and eating. Otherwise, I wouldn't be miserable and eating. And then I had to start like hating God because I was doing to myself what my mother used to do to me as a kid, and I was just torturing myself. And it's taken me a very long road to get back to God as having my back, as wanting to be my big brother, to want to take care of me no matter what. I am not a perfect person. I do have negative thoughts, unfortunately, too often, but I don't get punished for those negative thoughts. What I have is people in my life that help me turn those negative thoughts around and see the beauty, see the positive. And I think this program has saved my life, because without this program, I probably would have killed myself 40, 50 years ago. And I'm still here. And I'm happier, I think, than I've ever been. And I have a God that loves me, that wraps me in his arms, that has my back all the time. So, and I have abstinence and recovery. So, life is wonderful. This program is wonderful. And thank you all. I pass.
Thank you, Adrian N. from Florida. And Jim S., you're up, followed by Janice.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Jim S. I'm in Toledo, Ohio. And I just went through a transformation. I was at a Al-Anon and AA combined meeting, and a guy that I've known for many years, he was giving his lead. And he had a Bible verse that says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And when I went to that meeting that night, I was in the worst possible frame of mind that I've ever been in my life. I've been diagnosed as being a paranoid schizophrenic, and I was in that. I was afraid of God. I was just paranoid. And when he spoke and told his story, it lifted all that out of me. And I've never been the same. And, I understand what it means to be in turmoil and despair. And all of it was brought on by my addiction to food. I've been addicted to food since I was 16 years old, and I'm now 81. So this has gone on in my life without anything I could do about it, but somebody else who had a closer connection with God helped me. So I'm glad to be recovered. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim S. from Ohio. And Janice, you're up. If you'll give us the first initial of your last name, followed by Stephanie O.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Janice H., compulsive overeater here in California. And, I definitely have had an overdose of religion. And I guess what happened with me most recently is that my family was in a church and I was doing a lot of service over there, and my husband became terminally ill, and it wasn't just me, it was also him, kind of felt like the church kind of shunned us around that, you know, and there was like a lot of resentment, especially on his part, but just hurt and things like that. So I, you know, went into the food over that. And basically, like, the way I see it is I made food my God, you know. That's the only way you can see it. So I don't know if I was ever, like, an atheist or anything like that. I mean, I think I thought there was something out there, but not whatever I was being taught by the church, you know, I questioned all of that. So now as I'm coming back, you know, like, how do I get, you know, whatever this power is, how do I get that, you know, from just a vague concept into, like, being involved with my food? And that's what I've been wrestling with all this year, you know. So the only way I can do that for me right now in my rudimentary understanding of a higher power is by the group, you know, is by understanding that the group understands how to do that, and by me connecting with the group and being honest about what's going on with me in the food and surrendering that to the group, and making you, the group, the higher power that I don't really have surrounding the food, that seems to be what's working for me right now. Because it's hard for me to give that over, even if I do think there's a higher power. That's an area that I hold on to. So anyway, thank you. Well, thank you everybody for being here, and it's been a great meeting, and it's a great way to wake up. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Janice H. from California. And Stephanie O., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Stephanie O. from Long Island, and I just want to thank this group. I am a recovering compulsive overeater, and I've been in program for so many years, and I really truly believed that I was the hopeless variety. I was that person who was unconstitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And it started every day with the food, and it just trickled and went out to all areas of my life because I had such a difficult time accepting life on life's terms. In respect to this reading, yes, I went to Catholic school my whole life, even graduate school. And, you know, I was taught not so much of a punishing God, but one that definitely keeps score. And I knew that there were so many things about myself that God would be putting ticks on the other side of the paper, and I just didn't know if I was ever going to be able to redeem myself. And it really truly wasn't until I came to the rooms of OA and other fellowships that I recognized that God does love me unconditionally. And I'm just so grateful for where I am today in my life. I'm abstinent for 6 days. I was at the convention in Region 6 over the weekend, and you know, I went in feeling just so indifferent. I felt like my program was just a rock. It just didn't feel like anything to me. And, you know, I committed to doing, you know, I heard somebody say 30 and 30, and I'm like, oh, I can't do 30 and 30. And, you know, I knew in my heart what my abstinence should be, but I was, like, looking for all of the answers. And when I heard about, when I heard a speaker who gave her qualification at this convention, I just was sitting back like, holy crow. And, you know, little did I know that this meeting is on every morning at 7 a.m. and there's another meeting at 5 p.m. Like all everything away. All of the barriers that my ego put up that said I wasn't going to be able to do something were removed by the loving fellows in this group. And I'm grateful. I started doing my two-way prayer, and this morning I was greeted with this beautiful vision of my Holy Spirit and my higher power of a golden butterfly. And butterflies have been something that have been in my life forever. I've always loved them. And, of course, we all know what a butterfly does and means. I just am so grateful today to be sleeping and just being held by God in His hands. And I'm just so grateful for the people on this meeting. I think a bunch of you are on here that I met, and I'm just so blessed to have known you, and I will pass it forward. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Stephanie O. from New York. And we are on page 55 in the big book in the chapter We Agnostics, the fifth paragraph that begins in this book you will read, and we're reading through two paragraphs on to 56 that ends, brought him to the point of self-destruction. Who else would like to share this morning?
Ken W.H.
Ken.
Tony B.
What was that? Somebody B.
Sigrid F. Tony B.
Tony. Okay. Thank you, Tony. Sigrid F.
Candace L.
Candace L. Anybody else?
Lucy B.
Okay. Lucy?
Yes. B.
Okay. Okay, terrific. I have Ken W.H., Tony B., Sigrid F., Candace L., and Lucy B. Ken W.H., you're up, followed by Tony B.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. I don't quite know how to say all this, but I guess perhaps my greatest example of my spiritual awakening is that God didn't change, and God hasn't changed in my life. God has always been the same and will always be the same, because God is God and I'm not. And it isn't for me to define what God is or isn't. I either believe or I don't, bottom line. And God's always been busy, always been after me. God's never changed in that respect. God has loved me from the get-go. I just chose to love myself more, and I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I wanted to feel better. I wanted to feel stronger. I wanted to feel better looking. I wanted to feel loved by others and liked by others. I just wanted all those things, and I went after them. And they took me to the place that ultimately brought me to a place of surrender. And I had to be brought to that place. Circumstances basically took me there. I ate too much, and I did other things too much. And I got sick and sicker and sicker and sicker, and God remained the same. And God was always there. He just waiting for me to hit the bottom I needed to hit. And I finally hit it. And God was there, just as God has always been there. And God didn't have to change to get a hold of me. I didn't need to find another way of my own. Just let God have God's way with me. And that has happened, and he has reshaped my way of understanding and thinking about spiritual things. In fact, just thinking about other people was a whole new world for me, really thinking about other people. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that God just stayed the same and stayed after me, and that I could finally reach that place of utter other calamity, other chaos, and surrender. And that's the key. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. And Tony B., you're up, followed by Sigrid F.
Hi, my name is Tony B. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. And yes, the paragraph before, we can only clear the ground a bit. And I guess they did that for this guy, you know, that's our southern friend, isn't it? They cleared the ground a bit, and he began to, wonder, could he have this too? And I guess in We Agnostics, it's quite a strong story to tell here at the end, you know, of this man who thought he was an atheist, and they want to tell a little bit of it now, because his change of heart was dramatic, convincing, and moving. And actually, I find that that's the case with all of the stories in the back of the book. I find them all dramatic and convincing, and all of them moving for sure. I've been reading them with a sponsee, and we're often in tears, the two of us, you know. That it's because it's people going from hopelessness to hope. And I can certainly relate to being dogged by trouble, frustration. I had mental health issues. But all of that, in a sense, it kind of stops being, it's the beginning part of the stories. It's so interesting reading the beginning, reading the stories in the back, that it feels like there are three kind of distinct areas to them. One, it's the misery and depression and hopelessness. And then there's a kind of a glint of hope, you know, somebody says something to them, or a therapist, or somebody suggests, or they make a call, or somebody gives them a number, and then there's that kind of opening of hope. And then the third part, this spiritual awakening happens. They find a God, and I know I'm not quite sharing on this, because this paragraph really is that first part, you know, where he's describing these things. But I think really they're all the same for all of us. We all have them. It's that kind of what it used to be like. And I'm just so grateful that for me, I am, what happened and what I'm like now is where I'm living most of the time. Occasionally I get little pulls back from the what it used to be like, but so much gratitude for this particular meeting, and for OA, and all of you. I love you so much, and I'll share the time. I pass.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland, and Sigrid F., you're up, followed by Candice L.
Good morning, everybody. This is Sigrid F., recovered in South Florida. Interesting, this person had an overdose of religious education. I had religious education both in Christianity and in Judaism. And at different times. It actually wasn't simultaneous. And I wasn't really, I don't know. I guess the, child that I was kind of pragmatic and not really sure I believed, but when I wanted something, I sure as heck would ask for it. And then if I didn't get it, that was just proof, right? And life in my childhood home was not easy. There was raging, and I did, some of these things he's talking about, right? My brother committed suicide. And it definitely made me think, well, how can there be a God, How can there be a God? And it wasn't until, so that was as a teenager, right? And it wasn't until I was 48 and I'm 59 now, that I finally walked into the room of OA. And why? Because I was disillusioned at this point, right? It had only gotten worse and worse. I'd relied on food and not God. And that had grown in the years that I practiced it. So I got there, I got to the rooms, but I had to be hopeless. Sure, I was powerless. I realized the only reason I finally turned to the rooms is because I knew food had me. There was no question. But I had to get to this point. So my self-destruction wasn't the same, as this individual, but I did have a serious food addiction. I was mentally collapsing. I did think about suicide and think, I don't think my mother could handle if two of her kids committed suicide. I remember having those thoughts. So I was at a point of self-destruction, and that is what finally brought me into the room. And what a blessing that has been. And most recently, the thing that has opened up my world a little bit more is just maybe I don't know everything. And when I can practice that and turn things over to my higher power, that just maybe, even the most horrible things in the world, then I can let it go because I can't control it. And it's all in God's plan. Thanks. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sigrid F. from Florida. And Candace L., you're up, followed by Lucy B.
Good morning. My name is Candace D. I apologize for that. A compulsive overeater. Thank you all for your service. Wow. This reminds me, because I was never in the religious school, but I was in the religions of other people's thoughts and ideas about how we should serve the God that we serve. And I had two grandmothers that was completely different. One was about a book, no doing anything on Sunday. And the other one, we just hung out, had dinner and everything. And I recall, I guess I might have been about 12 years old, and I had this ominous warning from my mom to my grandmother, her mother. And she said I was sitting eating a pan of biscuits. And homemade biscuits, country, farm fresh. And she said, Mama, stop feeding her all that food. And she said, but she eats so well, let her eat. And she said, but you don't have to clothe her. And would go to my grandmother and my father's mother, and she was a gourmet cook. And after church, we had to sit still. We couldn't do anything. If you was going to do something, you was going to be punished. But my grandmother in the country, she would say, God is always forgiving. And, when it talks about all of the calamities, because, my life has been drastic, convincing, and moving. Everything in my life has been just that I had to end up right here where I am today. And that's being a part of this fellowship. But, you know, it says, you know, and these are the things that I ate over, you know, the overdose of, no, the business failure, the insanity, the fatal illnesses, you know, the things that happened to my family that I love so dearly, and I was not, I wasn't prepared. I didn't understand it. Why did God take them away, you know? But then they were the people that, God had, when they passed, that was, that turned my life around to look unto him. And knowing that, you know, because I was in the throes of my life, I was in the calamities, huge, the destruction, depression, you know. And it's amazing because even when I was in the military, and I used to lie so often and say, oh, the reason why I didn't re-enlist is because my father was ill, and I don't know, I don't want to be across the water, and he passed away. And yes, that was some truth, but the thing of it is, I wasn't able to re-enlist because of my weight. And, you know, much. And so that was the delusion and the being honest when I came here. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace D. And Lucy B., please share with us.
Good morning, and thank you, everybody who's doing service on this meeting this morning. Lucy B., grateful, compulsive overeater from Florida. You know, reading this passage is very different for me this morning than it was the first time I read it. I was, yes, raised in a very, very strong religious education program. My family was very involved. My parents were devout. And then there was a tragedy in my family, and my mother turned away from God. You know, she felt punished by God because of this tragedy. And it was very confusing as a child to watch this, but coming into the program and working step two and working through step 11, what I've come to realize is that my God can take the doubts. My God can take the questions. My God can hear me say, are you there? Are you not there? Are you real? Are you not real? It's like I feel like so much of my spiritual awakening has been going into the doubt and going into the questioning and allowing a power greater than myself to respond to that and to answer me affirmatively, you know, that he is, of course, there every day, all the time. But I think this paragraph's really important for those of us who were introduced to a God that maybe wasn't loving and forgiving. And I think this paragraph leads us to the place that we ultimately get to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucy B. And we have time for probably two more shares. Who would like to share this morning?
Russ M.
Russ M. Anybody else? Okay, Russ, take it away.
All right, thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. You know, first off in this paragraph, what hit me was like, thank God I had a bottom. You know, I got to experience depression failure, business failure, relationship problems. You know, some people don't get the experience. They die before that happens in addiction. You know, I ate over these things. These things controlled my life. I obsessed over it. It stoked my addiction to the worst form. But if that life did not happen to me, if I didn't experience these things, I would not be sitting where I'm at today. I don't have a perfect life, but I got a pretty damn good one because of the steps that led me to God. And yes, I came up Catholic, and I'm still Catholic. I love my faith. This just made me a better Catholic, a better Christian, more understanding. And if I didn't get that bottom, I didn't get that desperation, or I didn't experience that depression and wanting to hang it up, I would never be a decent person. You know, I'm not the greatest. Still got all those good warts I got to work on. But that's the gist of what I want for me. What I'm saying is that life happens to us. You know, I guess I was too immature, or I don't know. There's pride in there where you don't want help and you think you got it yourself, which I truly believe in my heart keeps this wiring of addiction in our brain and our nervous system. And you got to be broken. You got to be broken. I had to be broken of it. No, nobody was going to do it. Life did it, and God was there, put his hand out, and through my fellows and working these steps, I got free. And it's only because of that, and I ain't got a cure. I know I got to work the steps every day and stay within this way of life until I'm buried, till maybe even 10 minutes after I'm buried, because you never know. I still have tendencies. But thank God for this book, and I'm grateful to Bill, Dr. Bob, and everybody that put this thing together. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Russ M. And we have time for one more share. Anyone else like a few minutes?
Toby K.
Anita J.
Toby. Well, Toby, that's okay. Go ahead. Okay, thanks, Anita. Toby K., yeah. Please share with us.
Thank you. So I'm in Florida now, originally from New York, just here a few days. And because my husband had a work situation in Florida, and usually I don't go. But it was my birthday, and I said, I don't want to be alone on my birthday. I'll be depressed because I do get into that mood a lot. So I decided to join him this time on this business trip. And but what did he do? He yells, hurry up, rushing me, and dropping a bag of recycles, got disgusted, had a tantrum because the bag ripped. So I'm saying, why did I want to come? Yeah, I just should have stayed home and, you know, been in quietude and nursed my own wounds. I don't need more. But I guess I know how he is. He gets into his moods, and I'm very codependent. But I was thinking God doesn't make mistakes. He wanted me to be here for reasons. And I'm in the long run, I'm glad I did come. The place was a mess. We had some insect problems. So, and I'm glad I was able to clean up, but I kept doubting, did God really want me to come? You know, but I'm here. If I'm here, he wanted me to come. And at the end, I am glad, but I had so many doubts. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this to myself? But I know I am devout. And I was just like, I couldn't listen yesterday to the meeting. And I was just like floating around in Neverland. And today, just listening to all of you and your faith, and your courage gives me so much hope for myself, and it gives me an anchor to hold on to my God better. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Toby K. Anita, I hope you'll hang around for the next meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, October the 30th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,870. That's 21870. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
I will. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you, everybody who shared today. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is sick. The answer will come if your own house is sick. But you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.